Daf Hashavua, Ksuvos, Daf Yud Aleph. We begin with the Mishnah, two lines down on Yud Aleph and Yud Aleph. Hagioris, a woman who has converted. Vahashvuya, a captive woman. Vahashivcha, and a maidservant. Shenifdu, who were redeemed. Now the redeemed statement is really going on the Shavuya, which we'll see why it's out of order. Vishen is Gairu, who were converted. That's going on the Gioris. Vishen is Tachru, or were redeemed. And that's obviously going on Rishdachru means they were emancipated. That's going on the Shifcha. Pechusos mi bino shalosh shanim v'yom echad. And this all happened. This girl converted, or she was released from captivity, or she was emancipated from being a Shifcha and now became completely Jewish, all when they were less than 3 years old, 3 years and one day. We remind ourselves that that's the Besulim are going to regenerate during that time period. Ksuva son Masayim, their Ksuva, when they get married, years later, whenever it is, 20 years old, they get married, the Ksuva is going to be 200. Why? Because they're considered a Besula. Why they considered a Besula? Because even if, when this girl was a Gioris, when she was not Jewish, or when she was in captivity, or she was a Shifcha, she was not Jewish. In all of these cases, there's a concern that maybe that either she was promiscuous or maybe she was violated. In all of these cases, it doesn't matter. Now that she gets married many years later, the ksuva is going to be 200. Why? Because she was released from these situations. She's now Jewish or released from captivity when maybe she was violated there, or shivcha because she's not Jewish. So maybe she had relations with someone. Either way, they're now been released from those situations or emancipated, whatever, before the age of three. So it's before the age of three, we have to assume that they're basulos. And therefore, ksuva son masayim, upon their marriage to a Jew, many years later, the ksuva is going to be 200 v'yesh lahen tanas besulim, and the husband has a tanas besulim. They don't find besulim, so that's a good tanas, it's a good claim, because there should be besulim based on the fact that it was after 3 years old, or before 3 years old, they had already been released from that situation and should have, and there's an expectation that the Besulim should be there. And if they're not, the husband has a taina. The Ritva makes the statements are out of order. Well, they should line up parallel. It should say the Gioris, so the verb should be Shenish Gairu first. And the Shvuya, the Sheniftu. So why are we out of order? So the Ritva explains that it's based on the order of importance of the people in terms of the three people, women or girls we're speaking of, and then in order of importance of the mitzvah. So for example, a Gioris is someone who decides to convert to join the Jewish people. So, such a chash of a person, we mention them first. Shvuya, of course, is a woman who's taken captivity, but she's Jewish. A Shifcha is a woman who's not Jewish, so they're in that particular order. But in terms of order of priority of mitzvos, Sheniftu, to redeem a captive, that's one of the greatest mitzvos we can do. To convert, Shenis Gairu, so that's a nice thing to do. There's no obligation to do so. In fact, we discourage people originally from converting, so that's why that's next. And Ishtachru, redeem or emancipating a slave, a maidservant, so that may be an Isser Doraisa. Mitzvah Saseh says, in Parshas Bahar, Le'olam, Bahem Tavod, unless there's a compelling reason for a mitzvah or whatever, we're not supposed to emancipate a slave or not an Eved Kanani or Shifcha Kananis. So that's why that's last on the list in terms of the verbs. Okay, says the Gemara the following. We're going to mention a comment of Rav Huna related to a ger, katan, a child who's converted when under bar or bat mitzvah. And then we'll see whether or not our Mishnah may support Rav Huna's halacha. Amar Rav Huna. Ger katan matbil and also al das beistin. It's a famous important halacha. You have a child who's not Jewish and they're under bar bat mitzvah, so they're going to convert. So how do they convert? They don't have das. They don't have the intellect for conversion. And the Rav Huna comes to say that a ger katan, someone who wants to convert, who's a katan, we put him in the mikvah, and if it's a male, of course, we give a bris milah as well. We only mention tevila because tevila is something that's applicable both to men and to women, or boys and to girls. as well as that, the tevila comes after the mila, so that's going to complete the process. But it's both the mila and tevila, whatever is needed for conversion. Amat bilin also al das beistin. Who's in charge? Beistin. We put them in the mikvah based on the understanding of the das of beistin. Take a look at Rashi. So the first Rashi on the Gemara al das beistin, the parentheses there, Rashi says im ein lo av. If there is no father, the imo hevi aso la hisgaya, and his mother brings him to mimisgai. Sounds like that if it were the father would have the jurisdiction, the authority to convert the child. Here's the case where it's the mother who is bringing the child to Gerus. So, and that's the case of the Gemara. And how is it done? Matbilin ex Rashi, matbilin de'enloch ger below milo tvila. Obviously, they have to go to mikvah. You need mila and tvila. Al das based. And how does this work? Shlosha yihu bitvila. So, you need a based in. You need three men. Kedin kol tvilas ger, just like any. Anytime a ger wants to go to mikvah shetzrichim gimel, you need three people to act as a beisdin. Vehei nasin lo'av, they become almost like their father. In other words, as Rashi's pointed out before, if there's a father, the father has the right to do that on his own. But if it's a katan. But here what we're saying is there is no father to do so. So it's the mother who's going to bring this child to conversion. So the parent converted. But now, but the child needs to be converted. The child has no das to make a decision whether or not he or she wants to convert. So if it's a father, the father can do so. But if it's a mother, so we need a beis din to take the place, the substitute for the father. Vahare Rashi says, Hare Uger al Yedeyen. And says Rashi, an important line, which we'll get back to later, Umaga'o b'yayin kasher. And now, if this child will touch wine, the wine will be kosher, as opposed to the halacha of stam yenam, where if a non-Jew touches a bottle of wine, is the bottle sealed? That's a whole question, but assuming the bottle is open and touches the wine, so that wine is going to be not kosher. We're not allowed to use that wine. So here, but once he becomes through based and becomes a ger, so the yayin is going to be kosher if he touches it. Back in the Gemara, so the Gemara begins and asks, the beginning of the line, my kamash malon, what's Rav Huna coming to teach me? The zechusulo, that becoming a Jew is a privilege, is something of benefit, is advantageous to him. V'zachin la'odam shalom b'fanav, and the chiddush of Rav Huna is, oh, Beis Din can immerse this child, and he becomes a ger. Hold on, becomes a ger. Maybe he doesn't want to become a ger. So obviously, what are we coming to teach you? That Zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. We can do something advantageous for someone, literally, not in their face, not in their presence. We have this halacha, let's say, by Erev Tavshilin. So the rabbi picks up the egg and the challah and the matzah and says, I am being zoche in this Erev for the entire town. No one in the town even knows that I'm doing that. But the answer is, zoche l'adam shalom b'fanav. You could do something advantageous to someone. Everybody wants to be part of an Erev. It only helps people to cook from Friday to Shabbos, from Yontif to Shabbos. So the halacha is zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. Even if they're not aware, they don't have they're not present, or the presence of mind, or don't have the intellect, the zechus is effective. So is that what you're telling me? Since it's a zechus to become a Jew, so that's why the beis din can immerse a katan, even though he's a katan, and overcome becomes a Jew, because zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. Tanina, we have a Mishnah that teaches us this. The Mishnah is in Erev, and you have the Yevamos as well. Zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. You can do something advantageous for someone not in their presence. Ve'ein chavin la'adam shalom b'fanav. But you can't do something disadvantageous. You can't do something that's not beneficial to someone shalom b'fanav. That would have to be do b'fanav. Only in their presence can you do something that's a chov, that's not advantageous for them. So the question is, what's Rav Huna coming to teach me? I know the principle of Zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Mahu detema, what would you have said? Oved kochavim behefkeira nechale. Now I'll tell you why. A non-Jew would rather stay as a hefker, meaning literally ownerless. What does it mean? He likes the life of freedom. The life of freedom, what's the life of freedom? The life of freedom is, if you look at Rashi, Mau detema, it's about six lines into the thin lines of Rashi. Mau detema, oved kochavim behefkeira nechale. He likes the freedom of doing what he likes as a non-Jew. V'chov hulo. And on the contrary, becoming Jewish is something that's not beneficial. Ve'in adam nasa shaliach la'adam l'chovaso. You can't become a shaliach, a messenger, an agent for someone if it's something that's not advantageous. Shalom b'fanav, unless they're there. Kolomar meaning shalom idaito. In this case, for a katan, it means shalom doesn't mean not in his presence. It means without his knowledge. V'katan lav bardeya, who when a katan is essentially someone who has no das and therefore is not there, is not befun of. So maybe I would have said, aha, it's not beneficial to become a Jew. Back in the Gemara, again, at the end of the line, Mahu Detema, what would you have said? Ovid kochav bef kerinechale, he wants to stay not Jewish, he likes that freedom. Da kai malon, de eved v'adai bef kerinechale, we know that when it comes to an eved, it's certainly the case. An eved would rather stay hefker, an eved kanani, non-Jewish slave, we assume that he likes, he would rather remain in that state of being eved, and he's allowed to live with non-Jewish women. Doesn't want to be a ben chorin, doesn't want to be now, even though he can marry a Jewish girl, that's not helpful for him. He likes the freedom of living with whatever woman he likes. So kamashmal, so that's true of an Eved. Maybe it's true of our katan who's not Jewish as well. Kamashmalon. So the chiddush of Rav Huna is that indeed it's a privilege. Why? Dahani mili gadol. That all applies to a gadol, to one who's over bar mitzvah. The ta'am tam yisura, because he already had the taste of something prohibited. Avol katan, when it comes to a katan who's still young under bar mitzvah, zuchusulo. Rav Huna comes to dish. Indeed, becoming Jewish is a zuchus. And since it's a zechus, we can employ the principle of a zachar the adam shalom b'fanav, because it's a zechus for him, and that's why Beis Din has the right, in the absence of the father, to immerse the katan al da'atam with their knowledge, so that he becomes Jewish, and that's how geirus works for a katan. Okay, that's Rav Huna's statement, and now comes the Gemara to assume, at least that initially, that our Mishnah supports Rav Huna. Let us suggest that our Mishnah supports Rav Huna. What does the Mishnah say? Hagioris vahashruya vahashiv choshen niftu vishenis gairu vishenishtachru pchusos vibos shalom yomechad. So the Mishnah, we know our case with Mishnah speaking about why we know that the psula, that the ksuvah is going to be 200 and there'll be a tainas psula. But we're just focusing on the one case of the gioris. What do you see from here? There obviously is a gioris. The Mishnah that became a Gioris when she was less than 3 years old. So, obviously, there is such a phenomenon. My love, is it not so dat belinu al das based in? Can we not say that this is exactly the case? Had this young girl become a Gioris when she was under 3, must be that based in was in charge of converting her. So it shows you the Beis Din has that right, and Zachar Lad Shalom B'Fanav applies to Ger Katan. Says the Gemara, "Lo, no, you don't have to bring a proof from the Mishnah." That's what I mean. Leimah Sayele. We suggested that the Mishnah is a support for this, but not necessarily. Why? Because Hacha B'Mayaskinon Beger Shenis Gairu Banov Uvenosav Imo. No, the case could very well be that we're talking about where you have someone who became a ger, and then everyone came along and converted along with them. I have a convert, and the sons and the daughters converted along with the father. There's a father in the picture here. Beis Din's not involved. And why is this effective? I'll tell you why it's effective. Because because the kids are comfortable and satisfied with their father's doing, their father's in taking care of the conversion. So that's why, because the kids want to live with their father, and the father is following the Jewish religion, so they're going to come along with it. But that doesn't mean that in absence of the father, all of a sudden, Beis Din should assume that their conversion is effective for a child. How do you know what the child wants to do? And the father's becoming a religious Jew, so we'll become Jewish, we'll go along with them. So there's no raya from our Mishnah that in fact, Beis Din has this right, ger katan mat bilan osal das beis, there's no raya for Rav Huna. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says the following statement, higdilu yecholim limchos. Comes Rav Yosef, this idea of a ger katan, assuming that Magbilan Asal Da is based and assuming Rav Huna is correct. And Rav Huna doesn't mean that Mishnah does, just because Rav Huna says what he says, we have to assume that the Mishnah has a raya. So the Mishnah is not a raya for him, but he can still make his statement. And Rav Yosef comes to add, when they get older, when these children who were converted, halacha, when they were converted by Beis Din, so they have the right to reject. They have the ability to renounce Judaism. They're not interested. That is what Rav Yosef says. So Abaye asked the kasha from the Mishnah, which we have. This is a Mishnah, which the Mishnah, what does our Mishnah say? So once again, Eisvei Abaye, Hagiores v'Hashvuya v'Hashivcha, Sheniftu v'Shenizgayru v'Shenishtachru v'Chusos mibirosh shaloshanim v'yom echad. So good. Here the case of the Gioris. Okay. But what does the Mishnah say? Ksuvasan Masayim. The Mishnah taught us that now they're going to get married, their Ksuva is going to be 200. So hold on one second. The Ksuva is going to be 200. But if this is true, when are they getting married? So let's assume they got married, let's say, and it's possible to get married under bat mitzvah. So take this case. She got married a little bit later. She got married at, at 10 or something. She was married off. So now what does it say here? The ksuv is going to be 200. 200? But what happens when this girl is 12? She's 12. You give her the right to renounce, to reject. I don't want to be Jewish. If you're correct, Rav Yosef, that once they become a gedola, the child becomes a bar bat mitzvah. In this case, the girl becomes bat mitzvah. She can be mocha. She can reject the Judaism. You're going to give her a ksuba that she can go and eat, literally consume, when she's not Jewish? That doesn't make any sense. Meaning, the Gemara assumes that based on our Mishnah, there's no way Rav Yosef is correct. There's no way that the Katan, once they become a Gadol, has the right to renounce the Judaism. Why? Because otherwise, the Mishnah would never assume that the Ksuva should be 200. You're going to give her the option to renounce Judaism when she becomes Bat Mitzvah, yet you're telling me that if she gets married before that, she can get a Ksuba. And now what? She's going to have a Ksuba? But she's not Jewish because a couple of years later she renounced the Judaism. She doesn't want to convert. So and she's not Jewish anymore. So why would we give her a ksuva? So the Gemara says l'chi gadla. So what does it mean? Oh, we only give her the ksuba when she becomes an adult. So that means if she was divorced or became an almana while she was still a ktana, the ksuva, you're right, is going to hold on to it. And then the Beis Din will hold on to Ksuba, and once she becomes a Gedola, so then they'll give it to her. Says the Gemara, Gadla Nami Machya V'Nafka. What do you mean? That doesn't solve the problem. She becomes an adult. She can also renounce the Gerus and leave Judaism as well. So you're going to give it to her now at 12 or whatever. Let's say she renounces Judaism at 15. So the Gemara Havamin is that she has the right to do that. The Gemara's Maskana is she cannot do that. There's that one moment. Kaven, Shehigdila, Sha'achas, once she becomes a Gedola, that one moment, Valomi Chasa, and did not renounce it, Shuveni Cholimchas, she can't do it anymore. So what do? She's married before 10, this Giores, this child, this girl, who couldn't converted to Aldas based in. We hold on to the ksuba. Once she's 12, we say, do you want to stay Jewish? She says, yes. We give her the ksuba. She said, I want to stay Jewish. She says, I don't want to stay Jewish. So we don't give her the ksuba. So that problem is solved. There's no problem with having a ksuba of 200 for a gioris. Good? Okay. Take a look at the Tosus Yishonim, which is in the column. It's below the Mesoras Hashas, all the way in the right column. The Tosus Yishonim asks an interesting question. Just the timing. If you look there, he says like this, in the brackets, Kasha, Im Kain, Masai Teda, Shas Hamcha. When is that moment of her being mocha, her rejecting? Daha bikatnus eina yecholu limchos, Krav Yosef. You can't do so when what? When you're ktana, only when, Higdilu, Rav Yosef said, yecholim limchos. So when does she do that? Once she becomes a gedola, but now she's a gedola already. So at what moment is she supposed to, do we give her that option to renounce the Judaism or accept it? Yesh lomar, kigon she'eschila minhag gius yom lifnei gadlusa. This is what she does. You see that before she becomes a bat mitzvah, you're planning the whole party, a whole bat mitzvah celebration, and you already see that she's not keeping, you have a party on Sunday, you already see on Shabbos, she's not keeping Shabbos. Okay, so if that's the case, that is her renunciation. V'chein nege yom o yomayim l'achor g'day lusa. And not only that, no hagah, no, she also had this, practiced for a day or two after she gave a gadola. Says the Tosi Yishanim, that's how you know. That's how she renounces, and then you know, you'll know the particular date where you have to deal with that. Now that's one interesting issue. The Rishonim, raise a couple of questions on this Gemara. One is mentioned in the top Tosus. Matbilin oso al das based in Mishum de Zechus Tu. Says Tosus, Vitema, it's a wonder, it's something very difficult. What's the astonishment? The Hazichia have mitam shlichus. So says Tosus like this, and Tosus is the premise of Tosus is argued upon by other Rishonim. But Tosus is saying, hold on one second. How does Zechiah work? We say, Zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. Aha, we can do something advantageous to someone, even without their das, even if they're not here, even if it's a katan, and that's the basis of this halacha of Rav Huna. Says Tosus one second, why does that even work? So the answer is, must be, that the person who's being zoche on behalf of the other, in this case is the Beis Din, when I pick up the Erev Tavshilin, I'm the shaliach for the community. So, says Tosus, shlichus, if that's really what's happening, so that's a problem. What's the problem? The problem is that there's no shlichus. How can you act as the shaliach for a katan? The katan here, the Beis Din, is acting on shlichus for katan. Katan's not a, since when is the katan even in the parasha of shlichus that someone can serve as a shaliach for the katan at all? So if you take a look at Tosus, six lines down into the thin lines, Tosus says, v'nir l'ri, the hachanami dezachin lo midirabanan. Guess what? Says Tosos, the zechiah here for this katan is only a dindirabanan. That's all. Because midaraisa it wouldn't make sense. Why? Because the basis of Tosos, the premise of Tosos is that zechiah is mitam shlichus. So, and other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say these are two different principles. These two different concepts. There's the concept of shlichus, of agency, for kiddushin, for separating truma, for gerushin, for divorce. You could appoint a shaliach, that's true. But zechiah, which is what we do with the Erev Tavshil and in many other areas as well, in this case, the Beis Din for conversion, zechiah is not a din in shlichus, and that's why just because a shlichus l'katan doesn't mean there wouldn't be zechiah l'katan. That's one issue. Second of all, if you look a little bit further down, about 13 lines down into the thin lines, Tosus asks a very important question. Vim toma, heichi have a ger midrabanan visharin on lei bebas Yisrael v'kiddushav kiddushin hamin haTorah oved kochavinu. So says Tosus, based on what you're saying, if it's true that the child only becomes a ger midrabanan because it's zechiah, and zechiah is only midrabanan. That means he's only a ger midrabanan. So you're telling me this child is a ger midrabanan. Okay, and based on that, what? We're going to allow now for the rest of his life, he's going to live a life of a Jew, and he's a complete convert, and he's going to marry a Jewish girl, and his kiddushin is kiddushin. What are you talking about? Min haTorah, he's still a non-Jew. Because the conversion is only midrabanan, because zechiah, according to Tosos, is only midrabanan, because the child is not tam shlichos. How do we allow this child to become a real ger if it's based on zechiah and zechiah for a child is only midrabanan? So Tosos gives a very important answer. The Yesh Lomar, the Kosavar, must be that Rav Huna holds kemanda amar, like the opinion Baisha Rabban Yevamos, the Yesh Koach Biyad Chachamim Lakor Davim in haTorah Bukum Vaaseh. Period. Wow, the Chachamim have the right literally to uproot a din d'oraisa proactively. What does this mean? So we're used to the fact that the Chachamim have the right, which everyone agrees to, la'kor davim ha'Torah b'shev al tase, where you're passive. So okay, take the classic example of not blowing shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. What are the Chachamim doing? They're saying like this, I know there's a din to blow shofar, but we're going to tell you to sit back and don't blow shofar. Why? Because we're afraid you may carry it into a Rosh Hashanah or carry Dalai Lama's Rosh Hashanah. So how do they have the right to do that? So the answer is, we typically say, because the Chachamim have the authority to uproot a din d'oraisa, as long as they're not telling you to do anything proactively. I'm sitting back and not blowing shofar. I'm sitting back and not picking up the shofar. So that they have the right to do. But many disagree, many hold that that's only true when it comes to being passive. For the rabbis to give you have the authority to say that there's an issur d'oraisa at hand, or there's a mitzvah d'oraisa rather, and I'm going to allow you to violate that, or not to fulfill that, or become, I say, where you're doing something proactive, that we don't say. And yet, those who claim that it is true, even become ba'aseh, and that's what's happening here. Must be. Rav Huna, who says that the geirus, so let's understand what's happening. The midoraisa, this child is not Jewish. And we're saying, because the Chachamim are telling me that he is Jewish based on this din of Zechiah, even though it's midorabanan, they're allowing this Zechiah to allow this child to live proactively as a Jew and marry a Jewish woman and have kiddushin. So that shows the Chachamim's authority is such that you can even proactively go against what the Torah allows. The Torah says this kid is not Jewish. So, and yet the Chachamim have that authority. That's the way Tosis understands this. The Ritva disagrees. The Ritva claims that there's a very simple reason why this is effective. And that's because he disagrees with the premise of Tosis. I'll read from the Ritva. He says, Elevada dahave ger mi doraisa. This is a ger mi doraisa. We can rely on him for anything. His kiddushin is good. His marriage is fine. Why? Since this is a zechus for him to become Jewish. And this concept of zechiyah is a din d'oraisa, and therefore it's effective. You'll say that no, what do you mean? I thought it's based on shlichus. Apparently not. Apparently, it's not based on shlichus. Zechiyah is its own halacha. Says the Ritva, hold on one second, but there's another issue. Udeka amit nechus shema yimcha. Maybe I should be afraid the child may renounce this to begin with. So maybe, how could you say this zechiyah is effective? The child has the ability to renounce it. How effective is zechiyah if the child, when he hits 13 or 12, is able to say, I'm not interested? Says Tosus. It says the Ritva, yesh lomar, dekeven ten ischanech mikatnus over hurgal b'toras Yisrael, since he has the proper chinuch when he's younger and he's getting used to the living as a Torah Jew, a Yisrael HaKadosha, mistama lo yasur mimena. We presume that he's not going to go astray from it. Umilsa delo shchicha hu shemcha. It's a very uncommon occurrence that he will renounce it. And if something's uncommon, something that we don't have to necessarily anticipate, we don't have to worry about, even where that issue is the oraisa.